Hello, and welcome to Monumental, where we sit down with entrepreneurs, leaders, visionaries, and big thinkers making monumental change. Here's your host, Evan Holliday.
Welcome to Monumental. I'm your host, Evan Holliday, and today we have on my man, Mike Taravella. Mike, how you doing, man?
You know, just living the dream, making it happen, Evan, and just excited to finally be on Monumental Podcast with all your listeners.
Yes. I'm really excited to have you on. So a little background for everybody. Mike and I actually met coming up on a year ago.
Wild how it's only been a year. Feels much longer.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, we've gotten to do a lot in the last year, but we met first at Joe Fralis's Best Ever Multifamily Conference out in Denver. And it's just been a whirlwind ever since. And so a little background on Mike. He's a CPA. He's worked 5 years professionally in accounting. He started at Ernst & Young in public accounting and then transitioned into Detroit's startup community at Rock Ventures, which I do want to get into that a little bit because that's a whole nother, you know, group of businesses that I'm really interested and intrigued in. But he began his real estate investing career in 2016 by owning and self-managing investments in Michigan. He also took an interest in real estate development before joining Rand Partners and the Jake and Gino community in 2019. Mike is currently an associate, and he is responsible for underwriting deals, investor relations, and asset management. So, Mike, why don't you share with the Monumental listeners a little bit about your background and how you got into real estate?
Yeah, so I grew up in Metro Detroit, and my family were either teachers or automotive workers for Chrysler. And so I loved the math background and I loved numbers, but I just didn't want to be a teacher. And I honestly saw how hard they worked and I saw how hard my family worked. So I was like, I want to do business. I want to do my own thing. So my mom goes, why don't you try this accounting thing? So I got my undergrad and master's at Michigan State University. And even my professor's like, you're not your typical accountant. You want a little bit more. You're more tolerant to risk and opportunities. I was like, what does that mean? So I did the more traditional path. I went to Ernst & Young, was an auditor for 2 years, and just dove deeper into, you know, financials and just what auditors look for and to help, you know, financial reporting. But I realized it just wasn't the career path for me. And so I took that background of understanding the numbers and working with people and went across the street to work with Dan Gilbert and a lot of his startups. So I was launching startups, a media production company called Woodward Original. I even launched an esports company with his team called 100 Thieves. And so it was just cool seeing, taking nothing and then putting it into something, but with the financial reporting side of it. So it's not the, you know, like you developing the skyscrapers, you're building the foundation of the business processes going forward, which is just as important. And from there, I met a mentor, John Kasman, because I saw what Dan Gilbert was doing with Detroit and realized real estate was the way. So I bought two single family properties in 2016 and 2017, but realized this isn't truly scalable. I have to save up enough money for a year. Then I have to do the property management. I have to find the properties. I have to do everything. So there's got to be a different scale. And I connected with John Kasman in Chicago. And he said, hey, come to my conference, and which I did. And just opened my eyes to multifamily. So from there on, I moved to Chicago and worked for a real estate development company there and saw just their processes and just learned so much and realized real estate's the true path. I'm all in on real estate. And so that's where I, you know, went to the Best Ever conference with you and met you there and just, you know, continued to meet, connect people and learn and grow. And then 6 months later of trying to develop my own branding from that piece, got connected with Jake and Gino through a mutual contact and they said they were hiring. And I just figured, hey, I might as well pour gasoline on the fire than trying to start my own fire. And it's been, you know, a whirlwind ever since of being the asset manager. And, you know, we landed a 143 unit deal my first week here. And it's just been a whirlwind of opportunity, experience, and just connection.
That's amazing, man. And of course, you know, they wouldn't have found that opportunity like that were it not for you being there.
Absolutely. That's what I tell them. I was like, because they were like hesitant of bringing on board a team member and the cost. I was like, come on, guys, just for week one, we could crack that out of the book, got it out of the way.
I love it. So in your journey, it sounds like you you kept gravitating more and more towards real estate, and you were able to, in a sense, use your skills and use what you were good at and use the tools that you had learned along the way and in school to get you in that right place at the right time. Like, it sounds like, you know, you were working for a startup community and then you were working for a real estate development company, and you were still on the, like, the accounting side of that,
yep.
right?
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. I think that's amazing that, you know, you're moving the needle towards where you want to be. And you don't have to, like, always, like, just jump in the deep end. You know, there's ways to, like, actually learn as you go and apply what you know, because that's honestly how you get doors opened up for you.
Yeah. And I think too, with a lot of people, when they think real estate, you just hop in, someone writes you a fat check day one, you get an acquisition. Everyone's on the hunt for the acquisition fee, but it's such a longer game. And with that acquisition fee, there's so many business processes that it funds on the back end that people don't even realize. So I realized I really wanted to take my time, especially in the market, that, you know, just in case, you know, there's half the inventory is on sale compared to last year. So it's just really making sure I felt safe, but just working to hedge my risk to make sure it was the best opportunity going forward.
So what made you want to reach out to John Kasman or take that step from single family to multifamily?
As Jake Stenziano always says, that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And it just was a lot. And I was already working a day job and I knew real estate was the answer, but I knew single family wasn't. And so I was just similar, just on bigger pockets, just constantly connecting with people. And I just saw John's background, worked in Detroit, moved to Chicago. And I just was really resonating with his story of being from it because he understood the Detroit market. But it just really resonated with me of how many units you can amass. And it just truly resonated of it's a real estate business. It's a business that has real estate, not the other way around. So it's just my background of building businesses really drew me to that piece as well.
That's great. So as far as working for Dan Gilbert, he owns Rocket Mortgage, the Cleveland Cavaliers, yep. A couple of casinos, I think, and many other businesses, yeah. Like you mentioned, what value did that bring on your journey, learning from that entrepreneurial and that, like, startup mindset?
I think from being in meetings with him and seeing what executives looked at was absolutely huge, because people, I think, when being the accounting background, every number matters and it's very granular and very detailed, but you need to get that high level approach and make sure you understand what everything around and what investors look at. So I tell a lot of my students who I work with in our community, if you get everything on one page and you stay on that one page for 90% of the time, you're going to have backup for it, but just making sure you have a clear one pager of what it is, what the opportunity is, where the risks lie, how you're hedging it. And you should spend most of your time on that one piece, but it just opened my eyes of all the different factors that go into it instead of just, like, granular numbers. You need to have those, which are very important because they build the case for the one pager. But if you can consolidate everything into one page, you'll be golden talking to investors, property management, so on and so forth. It just makes life so much easier and less complicated.
So have you been able to apply some of that into what you're doing now in the acquisition on the multifamily side?
Absolutely. I mean, we keep everything pretty brief. We're very concise. We've developed processes. So from we've developed Asana as a huge tool to keep everything in. With even our marketing efforts, we've been dialed in and pumping out a lot more content than we've ever had before. On the asset management side, we're developing checklists and making sure that everything gets done to a T and it's familiar. So it's just a lot of building processes. And I think it's, you know, it's not a cliche, but you never want anything slip through the cracks. So making sure that you have everything presented, you have everything in line, making sure it's consistent, because investors love the consistency in the reporting and making sure the constant rhythms are in place.
So that brings up a good question. How would you recommend, in your experience, how would you recommend some of our Monumental listeners implement something like Asana, like a project management software? And there's many others out there, like monday.com and Trello, but how would you recommend implementing that?
I would say chunk it down. People get overwhelmed of, if I had to do this, then I have to do this, and this, and you get right. bogged down by everything. Just do one thing. So if you want to move over to Asana or whatever it is, do one part of it. So do acquisitions or do marketing. Do whatever your business is and document everything in it so that you get one thing right before you're moving on to two. Like for us, we really honed in on our marketing. And then we started like, okay, how can we implement this for the acquisitions? We got one thing right before we got everything else right, because it's just, you get overwhelmed with everything. But if you do one thing right, you get the dopamine, you built the success, you know what it looks like, you played around with it, and now you're building the foundation for the other businesses going forward.
I love that. And what, going back to what we had talked about earlier, as far as like putting yourself in the right place at the right time and applying what you know, and moving that towards the career or the path that you want to have in life. What advice would you have for our listeners on that?
It takes time in all aspects. Before the Joe Fairless meetup, I averaged 4 to 5 hours of sleep building a podcast, building a website, trying to do everything Jake and Gino started on. But it just takes a lot of time to get to where you want to be. I'm forever grateful and just honored to be. I can't even believe it. Like from best ever conference, I even wrote a journal. I journaled every day of like, man, my goal is to get a $5 million apartment complex before my 28th birthday. Little did I know, 6 months later, joined Jake and Gino. We acquired a $10 million one. So it's surreal when you break it down, but constantly just meeting people, going through, it takes a lot of time. Whether you're staying up, getting 4 hours of sleep, I wouldn't recommend that for anyone, but it's just a matter of, it's going to take time and just be patient. It takes a lot of time to build the foundation, to understand every aspect, and to just constantly provide value to people. Because if you're always providing value, it's going to eventually come back.
So how did you first get connected with Jake and Gino?
A mutual contact actually just was like, hey, have you heard of Jake and Gino? And I go, yeah, I've in the multifamily space, of course I have. And he goes, hold on. And then Dylan Marma called me the next day and was like, hey, we heard you're looking to, you know, join a multifamily team. I was like, yeah, absolutely. And just, you know, it's just a lot of networking and putting yourself out there was the biggest thing. And from there, I always laugh. And my interview was 10 minutes long. I didn't think it went well. I called my girlfriend. I was like, man, I don't think that went well. It was only 10 minutes. They were like cracking jokes the whole time. And sure enough, 12 hours later, I got the call. And I was like, yeah, come on down to Knoxville. So, you know, just keep putting yourself out there and always provide value.
I love it. And you also, I mean, you just hit on it. You moved for this job. You moved for this opportunity. As far as, I mean, that's something that I've talked about before on the podcast is like, you know, Jeanette and I moved to Nashville. For those who don't know, we moved to Nashville for the opportunity and for the amount of deals that we could do in Nashville compared to being in Louisville and commuting to Nashville.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of merit behind that in moving to where you need to be most successful. And for everybody, it's different, but for you, it's in Knoxville and it's surrounded by a bunch of go-getters, a great leadership team, and a group of people that are already successful and are going to bring even more success to their community.
Absolutely. And it's making sure, because some people have their values of, I want to stay here, which is fine, but it's making sure you're nimble enough to go where the opportunities are. I tell a lot of our, you know, my interns I've worked with in the past is make sure you're nimble enough to be able to go to opportunities you truly want, because they might come once in a lifetime and you got to weigh you know, if you have a house and kids, it's way harder to be more nimble than if you're 22, just graduated college and you just have a car and renting an apartment. So it's just making sure you're open to all the opportunities. And originally my biggest hurdle was moving from Metro Detroit. A lot of my friends still lived in that hometown and were like, man, you'll be back in 6 months. But little did I know, and they knew, that I'd go from Chicago to Knoxville. So it's just making sure you're open to the opportunities to surround yourself with people who are going in the direction you want to be going.
So as far as your dynamic with the whole acquisitions team, how how does that work and what is your role in the team?
So I like to consider myself the first funnel. We get the deal, we go through it. I'll, you know, plug in the information, do, being my background, I tend to be a little more conservative, not, you know, I just on the inputting and just making sure and understanding the markets that we're in, because we get a lot of deals throughout the Southeast, but really just developing, understanding the market, the sub-market, making sure that it has the population growth, employment, strong employment, and diverse employment as well. So just the first layer, and then we go through Dylan and Jake and Gino and our investing committee just to make sure that we're on the same page and understand the risk going forward. And then also too, I'm on the asset management with the accounting. The asset management piece is another put, making sure we're getting in rhythms with our accounting team and making sure that we have everything correctly inputted. We understand our financials. We understand that story as well of what's going on at the property level, and we communicate that to our investors.
I love it, man. It sounds like you wear just about every hat.
You know, I mean, it's a, like the startup environment never goes away. You always gotta, but that's what one of my favorite things is, we call it build the machine, building the process, similar to the Asana. Let's do one thing right this month, this quarter, et cetera, and then build the momentum. I know marketing was one piece that we weren't too consistent on, but now we have processes, we have teams around it. We're making sure that we can get that done really well, because we had the asset management piece we worked on, we had the acquisitions piece, we're getting deal flow. So now it's just make one thing better every single day, and you'll have a lot to look back on and go, wow, can't believe we did it this way.
Yeah. So how did you pick marketing above other things, and do you allot a certain amount of time to making that change?
Yeah. So we did, we love Deep Work and Ray Dalio's Principles. Those were like the two books we kind of just give to everyone when they start up. Here you go. Let's get to it. So we spend 2 days a month, the 4 to 5 hours, and we'll literally sit down, draw up posts, write the blurbs, and then the next day we'll shoot video content for it. So we just knew we wanted to be more in front of investors and meet new people, because we have big goals for 2020, and we just need, we need people to recognize the RAND CRE, RAND Commercial Real Estate, the RAND Partners brand. So, and we just in our internal, like looking into ourselves, like what are we doing well and what are we not doing well? And just being that self-aware to make sure that you can improve on. Do we have everything right? By no means, no. But we're really improving every single day to get that thing, build the machine correctly, and always self-reflect and make sure, how could we tweak this to make this an even better process?
So marketing, it's about content creation, setting aside that time for the idea creation, but then the actual video recording creation. And then have you all been able to perfect like a process, almost like a funnel for your content creation?
Yeah, so in Asana, we have our virtual assistant. So we'll have the ideas to create, we draft it, and then we assign that task to our virtual assistant. And from there, they'll create and go and put it into their, you know, card. It's like Trello. And so they'll say, hey, it's in. You can review these. We review it together on a weekly basis, just because it's a lot of content. You want to make sure you're having good rhythms. And then we just feedback loops. We like this, we don't like this, and just work together and plan a schedule on how we're attacking it. And then from there, once it's done, we assign the task to me to post and to post on our social medias. And then we can see every single day on what we posted where. So just a really ironing it out and just figuring out the pain points. And then by no means it's a perfect process, but like I said, we're tweaking every little piece to make sure that it's, anyone could get plugged in and knows how to do it.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. Well, I love, honestly, you know, I've seen you grow quite a bit in the last, you know, 10, 12 months, and it's been pretty awesome. And it's also, I love how it seems like everything you touch just gets a lot better after it, you know, Mike Taravella gets a hold of it.
I appreciate it, Evan.
No, it's nice. it's true. I mean, you know, it seems like, you know, you guys are looking at a lot of deals, you're marketing tremendously. And you're right. I think that has a ripple effect on the amount of people you meet, the amount of investors you get in front of. And so what as far as RAND CRE, RAND Commercial Real Estate, like what are your all's goals for 2020?
2020, we're actually in the process of starting a fund. And so that's just having a more equitable base to deploy capital. So we're in the process of getting our legal docs in order and making sure our marketing and making sure we have everything in place. So that's one of our big goals for 2020 and just making sure we're all on board moving in the same direction. And also too, I want to say same thing with you, Evan. I think your marketing is a key piece of who we inspire to be, because I think you and Jeanette all, I think Jeanette has a joke of, hey, let me guess, you met Evan on Instagram, right? I think it's just the power of marketing we saw as being very important. And same thing with you. I think in the last 10 to 12 months, you know, from everything you've done and are continuing to do, it's just, you know, 2020 is going to be exceptional and going
forward.
And it's all who you surround yourself with. If you surround yourself with people who say, I can't do it, you can't do that, they're right. You can't if you continue to listen to them. But if you have you're in the same room as the Evan Holidays, the Jake Senzianos, the Ginos, the Dylan Marmas, the only answer is I can. It's just a matter of when. When can you accomplish these goals?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think it's that mindset shift, and then also surrounding yourself with the right people, and then also like setting aside time for systems and setting aside time for goal setting. Which is something I wanted to ask you about. As far as goal setting, do you guys set aside time to say, okay, 2020, these are the metrics we want to hit, or this is the big hairy goal, setting up the fund, and then these are the second tier goals?
Yeah, so we do similar to Traction and the EOS, but ours is scaling up the Rockefeller habits. And so we have a coaching team that helps us every quarter and every year. So we really broke down our business into two primary KPIs of social media posts and deals underwritten. The social media posts is so that we can drive investor opt-ins, and then the deals underwritten is just the more deals you look at, the more likely you are going to get one. So it's really, you know, maybe this is me being a numbers guy, but you can break down any part of your business to a few key numbers. If you're on the property management side, it's occupancy. Well, if occupancy is down, there better be a lot more leasing cards and so on and so forth. So you better have those conversions in line so you know what's going on in the machine.
So is it important to keep the KPIs or the number of KPIs down? Could you only mention two?
It depends on the business, but I'd say less is more. Because the more you have, the more you have to check. And it's really, I mean, for the sponsors, it's you need investors and deals. Property management, you need residents. So it's just, and making sure they're happy. So I'd say less is more. People try to have too many KPIs and it just bogs it down. But keep it easy. It's, you know, you can get lost in the numbers, but only a few key numbers tell the story of what's going on.
So are you setting goals per quarter or for the whole year?
We do have the BHAG, which is a billion assets under management. And then we have an annual goal and then we review quarterly. So we have quarterly priorities. We spent 2 days this past December, and just really honed in on what we want to accomplish this quarter. So it's part of making this process better, and then our two KPIs so that because we're vertically integrated. So we want to make sure that the machine is humming on all aspects.
So was that 2 full days?
Yep. Two full days. So one was the annual, and then one was building the next quarter's goals. And then from there, we'll have 1 day sessions every quarter.
Got it. I'm taking notes for Holiday Ventures.
I mean, I think it's just all, and when it comes to the goals, you know, I've read 12 week year, I've read those books, but the biggest thing is accountability and execution. It definitely sucks when you don't accomplish your goal, but don't, even when I was losing weight, I was 80 pounds heavier and I would step on the scale after a bad week and I'd be like, man, this sucks. I just want to but you need to treat it as a learning opportunity. I don't like to view things as failures. It's, what did I learn? You know, hey, I can't eat two cheeseburgers over the weekend every day, because then I'm not going to lose weight. Same thing with, you know, your business. If you're not underwriting deals, then you got to talk to more brokers and get more deals to underwrite. So it's just making sure you keep yourself accountable and learn from those opportunities to accelerate your business, not to bring you down.
Yes, 100% agree. So speaking of losing weight, I mean, you just did a marathon.
Yeah.
So how much weight did you lose, and how did you make that happen?
So in 2016, I was 260, and that was, I'm going to say 260 wow. is the last heaviest I weighed myself. And it was from there was just kind of building the machine for my body. Of, I was 23, my chest hurt. I was like, I'm going to die if I continue this way. So it was just, you know, starting in a loop of, I liked playing basketball. I wasn't any good, but I'd play basketball every morning with my coworkers 5 days a week. And once I got that down and felt more comfortable, I then added weightlifting to it. And then from there, I was like, hey, if I eat better, I'll lose way more weight faster. So just building, chunking it down into that. And so I did a half marathon as Fat Mike. And now I did one as Fit Mike. So I was like, what has Fat Mike never done that I can do to just abolish him? And then so it was a marathon. So this October, I ran my first marathon, Goggin style, no headphones, training in Tennessee in the hot summer. Was not fun. I learned a lot, but, you know, it was definitely good to get that monkey off my back and cross the finish line. So it was a cool process to go through it and just.
Yeah. Comes full circle. Exactly. Fat Mike to Fit Mike. That's awesome, man.
Exactly.
Well, I think that has a lot of analogies over to business too, and also scaling up your business and just chunking it down and taking it one step at a time.
Yeah. And it's a self-awareness too. Like, you got to realize, like, hey, this isn't right. This is where I don't want to be. And this is what I need to do to get there. And you can look at, okay, I need to lose 80 pounds. But if I just eat healthy one day and the next day and the next day, and then I exercise, it's not a dramatic shift. It's, you know, the machine that you've built around. And so then you're eliminating those bad habits and replaced them with good habits.
So going over to the acquisition side of the business, how have you all been able to find deals? And then how much underwriting does that take, and walk us through that process a little bit?
Absolutely. So it's getting out in front of brokers. Everyone, I think multifamily has gotten a lot hotter, hot topic, and people have heard about it a lot, but it's just proving to brokers that you can close. So we've done a lot of property tours just to be face to face with brokers, so they know who we are. We're not just an email. We're not just a phone number. We're people. So with those broker relations, then comes the deal flow. We don't do anything really offsite unless it's presented to us or off market. Like our Lexington deal was, because we've developed a lot of broker relations by meeting with them. But we're not, you know, calling sellers. We're really just diving into our broker relations, and from there, our first filter that we look at is just the market. Does it have the job growth? Does it have employment growth? Does it have diverse jobs? Like in Detroit in 2008, 2009, heavy automotive got hit super hard because of the downturn. So just understanding the market, and then the sub-market is making sure we leverage geomaps that I can send over in the show notes to just understand the median income, because even though we're in Knoxville, we can see any tract of land or every tract and see what the median income is and follow the money of which pockets have more money than the other, because it helps with affordability and just is a good way to get a gauge of the land. And from there, once it checks all those boxes, we really look at the property and the financials. And so that's just deep dive underwriting. And, you know, it takes a couple hours by the time I go through it and Dylan goes through it, because we're checking comps, we're checking major sites in the area, and we're just really understanding our competition, and we're developing the business plan. I always equate the numbers tell a story. So we need to be able to tell the story of the true value add that we can do, and in the end, have our investors return in mind.
So how are you all differentiating yourselves between other buyers right now? Because I know there's a lot of people out there who are looking for deals. There's a lot of people offering, a lot of people paying a lot of money for deals.
Yeah, we're vertically integrated, so I think that's one huge piece. We have our property management team in-house, so we come in and we take it over, and it definitely has the RAND family stamp of approval on anything we touch that we truly take care of. And that's one piece, and we've never backed away from a close. So we've, you know, proved to brokers that we close, and we've never backed away, and we know we don't retrade. Once we agree upon a deal, we're getting it all the way through the finish line, no matter what. So those, I guess, are the two biggest pieces, is the vertical integration, because a lot of people complain about third-party property management, but it's in-house. It's on us. We're in charge of it. We take full responsibility for it. The buck doesn't stop with us. We take full ownership and extreme ownership for what's one of our core values.
So that ends up helping you all on the acquisition side as well?
Yeah, because then that's one less strategic partner we have to line up and try to get in place, and third-party management. So we have a full team hired in, ready to execute deals and execute our business plan. And we report to that with them very often, weekly and monthly, to make sure everything is going smooth on their end, whether it's residents and how we can improve their lives, because in the end, it's people first we're dealing with. And on the financials, making sure the stories match and we're hitting our numbers for our investors.
So what kind of high level for you personally, why multifamily, why real estate?
In the end, I just saw Dan Gilbert in Detroit just buying assets in downtown Detroit, and he just created so much wealth.
On the cheap, too.
On the cheap, but he definitely, if when we go, we'll go to Detroit and we'll show you how much he invests into it. It's amazing how much he puts into these properties, because he truly understands. He wants to make people proud of where they work and they live. And I kind of, with, you know, coming from Detroit, everyone always sees the Detroit versus everybody, because everyone talks smack about Detroit, but we just want to make our neighborhoods proud of where they work, where they live. And so I take that to my real estate investing. I'm always looking to help our residents, whether it's my single family, whether it's my multifamily. I just want to make the community proud and make people recognize, hey, I live with a RAND property. They care, we care. And it just, that aspect, and just on top of the economies of scale with multifamily, and why you're buying a business that has real estate. It's not you have more control over it than a stock in the market. You know, it's just the tax benefits are way better with the accelerated depreciation. And it's just a powerful tool for wealth creation. And it's not overly complex. I mean, there's complexities to it, but you know, I think anyone should be a real estate investor, whether you're doing an Airbnb for a bedroom of a place you rent, or you're in multifamily syndications or retail, et cetera. Everyone should be an investor in real estate. They just need to realize it first.
Yeah, you're 100% preaching in the choir here. That's what we always talk about on Monumental. And then anybody I ever talk to, I'm like, find a way to get involved in multifamily real estate, because there's just opportunities beyond and generational wealth creation, and also a sense of being able to create better communities.
Absolutely. And that's, I think, similar with your mission of you want to help develop the workforce housing and take pride in that. And that's the same with us. We want to be the Chick-fil-A of the Class BC properties, because even though it might not have, you know, everything, all the luxurious things, you know, we're people and we want to be treated well. So we just want to make sure, even at, you know, for our residents, for our investors, we want to be that white glove service.
Yes. Well, Mike, let's jump into our monumental questions.
Perfect. Let's do it.
What does success mean to you?
Success means to me, that's a tough one. Just living every day and just getting a little bit better every day. I know we talked about goal setting, but just after 2019 and seeing what I could do, it's just building on top of that. So just get a little bit better every day and good things will happen.
And it's endless, man. Do you have any daily habits or morning rituals that lead to a great day?
Working out is definitely one that I never thought I would say, but honestly, if you got the mind and the body are so connected. Yeah. That if I don't work out for a day or two, I just get itchy and got to, you know, de-stress. So I think working out every day, and I'm trying to get back into the more meditation because that's when, and journaling, but definitely working out to say the least.
Yeah, I agree. You can feel a difference. What is your favorite book or book you're currently reading? And I know you and Dylan have both been recommending some great books to me lately.
Yeah. Ray Dalio Principles is definitely the best book I've read in 2019. When he just dives so deep into the principles of how people should operate and building the machine, that's where we get it from, and just checking it. I think that's that book alone, you could read 100 times and try to implement each thing, but that book alone really shows a very successful person and dives deeper on how to do it.
Yeah, I agree. That was a game changer book for me. Well, that's great, man. Honestly, like, phenomenal episode. I'm glad we got to dive into everything.
Absolutely. And
really get to learn about your story and how you've been working with RAND Partners and just making it happen.
Absolutely. No, I'm excited. And, you know, if anyone has any questions, they can feel free to reach out to me. I'm happy to, any questions they have about multifamily, whatever, I'm happy to help.
Yeah. Where can our Monumental listeners reach out to you?
They can reach out MikeT@randcre.com. LinkedIn, I think it's Mike Tarvella Jr., but email's the best way, and happy to help in any aspect of life they can need help with. I'm happy to help.
Guys, take him up on that. He is having a phenomenal year.
Yeah.
So, guys, if you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to share it on social media, wherever you, whatever platform, Instagram, Facebook, tag Mike, tag me. And also do not forget, go to iTunes, leave a review for Monumental. And with that, have a monumental day.